Brother Martin. You come on, Brother David. Brother David's pastoring up in Ohio, like I said, Sandusky, just outside of that, and one of the greatest, you know, coaster parks in the country's there, Cedar Point. So we have to go up and see him sometime. Amen. And appreciate him. If you want to know his background, many of you know him, many of you that are faithful here. But he's done a lot of things for us in our ministry here. But he gets to hold that, you know, bus captain title. It's one of the major titles here for me as a, you know, somebody who has done that before. It's one of the ones that when rank and file in pastoring, a bus captain ought to be on the list of things that you've done. Come on and preach to us, brother.
Thank you, brother. I like the new color scheme on the pulpit. It's nice. And yes, I was a bus captain of Auburndale Bus Route. Can't remember how many years, probably like 3 or 4 years. And before that, I was on that bus route when there was other bus captains there. Joe Gambino was on that bus. Was on that bus route, and he was a blessing. And Brother Mashad as well. And I really enjoyed that bus route. That was one of my favorite things I've ever done in my lifetime, was be a bus captain. You know, I first thought, you know, I'm going to be a bus captain. I'm going to be a blessing, you know. But then those kids ended up being a blessing to me. So, and remember one time we're trying to bolster our numbers, so we had a pizza party. And we're like, well, how many pizzas we going to get? I said, let's get enough for 50 kids. So we got pizza for 50 kids, and we took them to the park and had fun at the park. And we had about 50 kids come. And that was a blessing. And a lot of kids ended up riding that bus and getting saved and baptized. And then one or two of them, I think, came to college. So that's a blessing. And so that is a blessing, being a bus captain. And but I came here in 2008, and I was 25 years old, just fresh out of the Army. And but my dad told me, hey, go check. I was going to go to another college. My dad said, go check out Landmark. So I turned around, and I came down here. And it was just after I've gotten done with some training and the reserves at Fort Jackson. So I came down here, and I came to Haines City, Florida. Got here at night, and I looked around, and I was like, I was going to sleep in my car. And I looked around, I was like, oh, I better go get a hotel. So I got a little hotel there by the college. You got rented a room. And next day, I came in there, saw Dr. Lewis, and everybody was really nice to me, and I just felt like this was the place. So I ended up staying here from 2008, and then I graduated in 2012. I was about probably like 29 years old, and by that time I needed a wife, so I was praying. And but you know, God, He said, get your studies done before you find a wife. I thought that was pretty smart, so focused on getting my college done. And then the Lord said, I want you to stay here. I'm like, stay here? What in the world? You know, I'm ready to get out of here, Lord. The Lord said, nope, stay here. And I needed a place to stay. So I went to talk to Pastor Carter. You know, I'd done college and everything. He's like, oh, I know somebody you can stay with, Brother Bob Jones. So I ended up staying with Brother Bob Jones. I don't know if he's here tonight. Is he here? No. But he was a good man, and I stayed with Brother Bob Jones. He had a room that I rented off of him. And then I worked for Brother, one of the brothers that used to be here in the church. And 6 months later, I obeyed the Lord, and I met my wife like 6 months later, something like that. Got married real fast. And now I have 5 kids coming out of my ears. And my wife, she doesn't want anymore. We got married in our early 30s, and now we're like in our early 40s, and she doesn't want anymore. She said, no more. And because my parents had six, so I wanted to have an even number, but she said, that's enough. It was a blessing to be here at Landmark, and it's a kind of a dream of mine to be able to preach. And but we've been up there. I left here about a year ago, and we've been up there in at Sandusky, Ohio. It's up there by the lake, and we don't get the lake effect snow for some reason. We're just below it a little bit, and a stream of air comes down, but it doesn't get us. It goes and hits Cleveland, dumps on Cleveland all the snow. So it's a blessing. We're about an hour and a half or some. Or so from Michigan, the border of Michigan. We're in between Toledo and Cleveland. And our county has about 50-some thousand people. So we have about that many people within about a 20 or 30 minute drive. We have about 50-some thousand people probably within 30 minutes of us. So, or more, probably like close to anywhere from 50 to 70,000 people. So there's a lot of people in that area. There's not a lot of good Baptist churches. So there, it's, I always wanted to go somewhere where, you know, not a lot of Baptist churches. I wanted to go somewhere where they, you know, like few Baptist churches, I guess. I didn't want to feel like I was stepping on anybody's toes, you know. So God answered my prayer, and he sent me up there to Sandusky, Ohio. And, it's for some reason, that's a famous town. It's been in movies and stuff, the name Sandusky, for some reason. But there is where you have Cedar Point, and it's right on the lake. It's like a little piece of land that juts out from the lake. And Brother Hill was telling me that he was in Sandusky, Brother Hill, Wallace Hill. And then Brother John Johnson, right? He worked at the bowling alley, right? He was at the shooting range up there. They had on the lake that a shooting range. So, and right, brother? Shooting range. Okay. Amen. And so, yeah. So, some people have been there, but we've been, when we got there, we had about probably like 15 to mid 20s on Sundays. Now we're averaging about probably like in the 40s and 50s. And then we have a lot of kids coming before. Before we didn't have a lot of kids coming, but now we have a lot of kids coming. We want to start a van route, so please be in prayer for that. And but we've been having kids come, and it's a blessing. And we've been seeing some people saved. And but just be in prayer for us that the Lord would work. And but I've been there for a year, and we've been seeing some different things happen. There's been a lot of the maintenance experience that I got around here. I've been putting the work up there. I thought I wouldn't have to do that stuff, but, you know, it follows you. And so, you know, we didn't have any lights in the parking lot, so we had to rent a lift and put some lights up. We got the lights working real good, and so praise the Lord for that. We have lights in our parking lot. And our church building is an old funeral home. And but praise the Lord, and now it's a Baptist church, amen. But it's real pretty, real nice. The old funeral home, they put $1 million into it, and then they went out of business. Well, that's why, you know. But anyways, well, we got it, so it's nice. We have like, it's pretty nice, amen. And I had one preacher come over, and he said he was making jokes about our building, and I thought they were funny. I told him that. He's like, well, where do they prepare the bodies? I said, where our kitchen is now. And he's like, oh, so what was the baptistry? And he said, oh, I know, that's where they wash the bodies, in the baptistry. But it was good. And in our fellowship halls, where they used to keep the hearses, where the hearses. So it's good. God has a sense of humor, does he not? And we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to My wife, she's hiding in the back. I said I was going to have her stand up and introduce it, but I won't. But my wife came and my five kids are here. We're really enjoying the nice weather. Don't need no sweater and or coat, so it's really nice. And I just wanted to talk a little bit or preach tonight about, you know, faith and, you know, having faith in God. And we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down to verses 17 through 25. And I just wanted to talk a little bit tonight about, you know, focusing. We need to focus on God. And this is a familiar story. It's about, you know, when the Israelites were about to go, God wanted them to go take the promised land, but they had 10 bad spies, but 10 were bad, but 2 were good, right? And they said, we are able, but the 10 other ones were bad, and they didn't have any faith, and they said, you know, we're not able. So, but we're going to see that. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 of Numbers chapter 13. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So, you know, they're going to send one man to go spy out the land of Israel. Then we're going to skip down to verses 17 through 25 of this same chapter. It says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land which it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, or what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what is the land, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not? And be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first striped grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came into Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, and the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they came, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So, you know, they came back and they said, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. And, you know, it was supposed to be an encouragement, you know. And they were supposed to go. It's good to plan before you do things, right? And the planning is not supposed to, if God wants you to do it, you know, you're supposed to just go ahead. You should plan, you know, like everybody's planning to do the museum, right? And, there's Pastor Parsons has other plans and other visions, and if God lays it on his heart, you know, and he plans and then he brings it before the people, and the people, it's good to plan and see what you're dealing with and follow through. It's not supposed to be a discouraging thing to plan. It's supposed to be to help. And but they used that as something to be a discouragement, and they said, you know, we're not able. We're going to see that in verses 26 through 33. It says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But when the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in there are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we are in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So, they had 10 that were bad, but they had 2 good spies that said, Caleb and Joshua, they said, "We are able to go and take it, They're supposed to go in and see the land and, come back and say, "We are able," not come back with an evil report. And it's sad. And but a lot of times, us as believers, we are the same way. God says, "Hey, go do this. You can do it. Be of good, strong, and of a good courage," But we say, "Oh, we get our eyes off of God and we put it on ourselves and our abilities, and we say, "Oh, it's not possible," or we put it on all the obstacles or the giants, and we look at ourselves and we say, "We're not able." Of course, you're not able, but God is able. Amen. God is able. And, God is able. And, we fail when we lack faith. The devil wants you to lack faith. He wants you to focus on the wall. Like the Israelites, they focused on the walled cities, the giants, and they focused on their abilities or inabilities instead of focusing on God and what he promised them. He said, "Hey, you're, this land is yours. It's the promised land. Just go in and take it. I'll give it into your hand." But, we have plenty of promises in the Word of God. And, he saved us. And we have the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, we may face obstacles, but, God wants us to have faith. The devil wants you to lack faith, because he knows that if he can get you to lack faith and be fearful, you won't do what you're supposed to do. And you'll do wrong. You'll sin. And, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So we're supposed to live a life of faith. And, God's going to allow us to go through trials, temptations, and tests. He allowed them to go in and see those giants. He didn't want them to come back and be fearful. He wanted them to come back and say, "We can do this with in the power of the Lord," And, so he allowed them to go in. And God may allow you to see trials or temptations and see some tests in your life, but they're for a purpose. God wants to grow our faith. He wants us to have faith. And, God wanted them to be strong and of a good courage. Let's go to Numbers chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And, we're going to read some verses here in this next chapter. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness.'" A little dramatic, don't you think? A little dramatic. And "Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt." What kind of nonsense is that? That's craziness. They saw God free them from Egypt, from the power of Pharaoh. And Egypt was the empire of its, the most powerful empire of that time, you know, but God freed them. You know, you would think that they would develop some faith by this point, right? That they would have some faith in God. And but a lot of times that's how we are, you know. We have seen miracles. Did you know that when you got saved, that was a miracle? And you shouldn't get over your salvation. And, you know, there's that song, "There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born again." Who knows that song? Who's ever heard that song? But there's that's a miracle, amen, when you got saved. Don't ever get over your salvation, you know, and how he's changed your life. That's a miracle. And, you know, he's done so many things in our lives. Why don't we have faith? But, you know, we'll come up against an obstacle and we will say, "Oh, these people are crazy." You know, why? A little dramatic, don't you think? But a lot of times that's how we are. Well, we are just like them because we forget the great things that God has done in our lives. And we fail to see, we fail God when we lack faith. And we can sin when we lack faith. And, you know, they lack faith. And they're a little bit dramatic, and they wanted to return to Egypt. And that's crazy. And then the Bible says in verse 5 that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we possess through to search it is an exceeding good land. The Lord delight in us, and then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." You know? So, you know, we need to have faith like Caleb and Joshua. They believed what God told them. And that they believed that land was there for the taking. And didn't matter the walled cities or the giants or their abilities or inabilities. They believed God. And, you know, we need to focus on God. And did you know that he can solve or help you with whatever you are facing? And whether it be temptation, financial problems, health, you know, you may be a pastor, you have church problems, you know, you may be a young Christian here tonight, and you say, "How in the world am I ever going to become the kind of Christian that I need to be?" You know, well, you know, you need to get the focus off of you and focus on God. And, you know, a lot of times we focus on ourselves and we say, "How in the world am I ever going to do that?" Well, you're not going to do it. It's God that's going to do it through you. You just got to yield yourself to him. And with God, all things are possible. You know, David focused on God instead of the giant. You know, the giant, we find there that he was mocking the forces of Israel. And they were all fearful of him, but he said, "You know, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, this guy? How dare he defy God, you know? And this evil, wicked man, giant, you know, how dare he defy God?" And he was fearless. Why? Because he wasn't focused on himself or the giant. He was focused on God and what God can do. And, you know, that we had some foreign students, and they would sing a song. There was, I forget their names. One of them was Brother Saji, and they would be, who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Master. Who can do?" And they can do anything. That's the truth. And he can do anything, no matter what you're facing, financial, health, church problems. He will solve the problem, or he'll take it away, or give you the grace to be able to bear whatever you are going through. And that's the truth. And because he is God. And, you know, Sometimes we can say, what's the point? The situation is pointless. And don't look at me like you've never said that, because you have, okay? You're a sinner, just like me. And sometimes we can say, what's the point? The situation is pointless, but it's really never pointless when God's in the mix. You may be going through a dark time, a valley that seems hopeless. But don't let the devil trick you into thinking this, because it's not hopeless, because God is with you. You know, he'll carry you through. He'll help you. And, you know, we can sin when we focus on the problem and say it's hopeless. We can give up. Give in to something that is wrong. You know, a lot of churches, they say, oh, they get focused on the day and age we are in. And they're like, we got to go liberal to get the crowds, you know. Well, you can go to a football game and find a crowd, okay? We're not trying to build a crowd. We want the church to grow properly, the right way. And, you know, God will bless, you know, and little as much when God is in it. And, you know, if you do the right thing, God will bless the church and it'll grow the right way. But a lot of people, they focus on the day and age and they say, oh, it's hopeless. They believe the lie of the devil. But God, but the Bible says God gives the increase. The real increase comes from God. And, but you know what? God is with us. He wants us to be strong and of a good courage. You know, it's sin to be fearful. God wants us to be people of faith. And, you know, the devil wants you to be afraid, because he knows that if you're afraid, that he can get you to do what he can get you to fail that way. He can get you to do the wrong thing. But God is with us, and he wants us to be strong. Let's go to Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 through 9. It says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know, so God is, if you're doing the right thing, you know, God is with you. He'll take care of you. He loves it when we have faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So God loves it when we take him at his word and we taste and see that, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He loves it. He loves it when we have faith. And, you know, let's go to Deuteronomy. Well, it's back here. Deuteronomy chapter 31. You know, you might be facing something, a giant. And sometimes the devil wants you to focus on the giant. He wants you to be fearful. It says, but in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth give go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know, God wants us to be strong and of a good courage. He doesn't want us to be walking around like we've been eating a dill pickle. You know, he wants you to walk around like you love, like you have a smile on your face and you trust in the Lord, you know. He wants us to be strong and of a good courage. The devil wants you to be fearful. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I remember one time I just got saved, you know. Well, you know, before I came to college, I was up in Rochester, New York, another frozen, very cold place. And, you know, I just got saved, and God was like, I'd just gotten saved, and I was like, I had to go down and do some training in South Carolina, Fort Jackson. I was like, God, I don't want to go. I know how them people are, you know, they like to smoke and drink and cuss and carry on. I don't want to go be around that, Lord. I just got saved, you know, and I want to do right, you know. I don't want to fall back into that, you know. And the Lord said, you know, I was reading my Bible, and he said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What was God telling me? He's saying, hey, that spirit that you got, that's not of me. That's of, you know, the devil. I'll go with you. I'll take care of you. You know, and you'll be able to do right, but with my power. If you'll just simply yield yourself to me and do right. And, you know, so I went, and I got through it. And I praise the Lord for that. And he helped me. And, you know, God can help us through no matter what we're facing. And he wants us to be strong and of a good courage. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And he wants us to be strong and of a good courage. And the devil, he wants you to be fearful. Because he knows if you're fearful, you won't live a life of faith. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to bring up Corona. But a lot of people, they lost their mind during Corona. You know, they said, I can't go to church. You know, I'm scared. You know, this little virus is going to get me. You know. But, you know, I said to myself, I'm not going to live my life in fear. I've lived my life in fear. It's horrible. I'd rather just die by the coronavirus. Amen. I'm just going to go to church. I'm not going to let this little virus scare me. I'm just going to do what's right. And I quoted that verse again. You know, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So I'm going to go to church, you know. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to be fearful. But the devil, you know, devil used Corona to get tons of people out of church. And to do wrong and live a life of sin. Because, you know, whatever is not of faith is sin. So let's just be honest about it. You can justify it, but it's just sin. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, you can appropriate these verses into, you know, claim these verses, you know. If you're doing right and following the Lord, you know, what does he want you to do? He wants you to be strong and of a good courage. In fact, he commands it. He wants you to, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. And be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So God wants us to be strong and of a good courage. You may say, Lord, you want me to do this? I don't know if I can, but I will because you command me to, and I'm going to be strong and of a good courage. Maybe he wants you to be a good testimony at work. Maybe he wants you to stop dressing a certain way, and maybe somebody's going to make fun of you because of that. Well, who cares, you know? As long as you're pleasing God, that's what matters. You know, maybe God's talking to you and saying, hey, I want you to be a good testimony at work. You're saying, okay, Lord, I'm a little timid, but I'll do it, Lord, because you command me to, and I want to please you, and you want me to be strong and of a good courage. You know, God wants us to be strong and of a good courage. And, you know, we can sin when we focus on the problem and say it's hopeless. We can, you know, but the situation is never hopeless when God's involved. And the devil wants you to think it is. Maybe you're a new Christian and you're like, man, how am I going to grow? I see all these Christians here. How am I ever going to be a strong Christian? And the devil will try to discourage you. But, you know, you just need to do what God wants you to do. Yield yourself to him. And, you know, he'll help you. Read your Bible, pray. Let the power of God work in your life. And, you know, the devil may try to discourage you because he wants you to do something that's wrong. He'll say, oh, it's hopeless. Just, you know, like Peter. He said, you know, the Lord was crucified, right? And he got discouraged and he said, I go a fishing. He went back to the world, right? And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to think it's helpless so that you'll go back to the world. He wants you to be like the Israelites and say, let's get a captain and go back to Egypt. But you know what? You can't go back to Egypt. You can't go back to the world. You're not going to be happy back there. The only place you're going to be happy is in the center of God's will. You need to tell the devil that he's a liar. Claim the promises of God. and say, you know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's not hopeless because God's in the mix, and He wants me to be strong and of a good courage. And, you know, I've been thinking about these verses, and they've been speaking to me. And, you know, that's why I'm preaching it tonight, because I need to be strong and of a good courage. And we all need to be strong and of a good courage. And the Bible says that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And, you know, you got to be courageous. You got to have faith in God, and he'll see you through. You know, let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And he'll see you through. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. You know, faith is very important. It took faith. You had to have faith in Jesus to get saved, right? Faith in what He did for you on the cross, and you accepted it. You heard the gospel, and you mixed faith with it, and you got saved, right? You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, in a Christian life, faith is very important. Faith helps us have the victory. Our victory is through the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we gotta claim the promises of God. We gotta live by faith. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says this: "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So, you know, you wanna have the victory in your life, you gotta live a life of faith. Faith is gonna cause you to give up some things, you know. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. You know, you got to live a life of faith as a Christian. Faith is going to help you give up some things that are wrong, that are worldly. You know, God doesn't want us to be worldly. He wants us, what is a Christian? It means to be Christ-like. You know, you got to be Christ-like. You can't be world-like. You got to be Christ-like to be a Christian. You know, you got to be saved, but you got to be Christ-like. That's what it means to be Christian. You know, you can be saved but be worldly and not be Christ-like. God, you know, we got to see what Jesus did and follow Jesus if we want to be Christ-like. We can't follow the world and expect to be Christ-like. But faith is the victory. We fear when we lack faith. Says that in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. When we know when they're going, I'm going to go over there and quote it. But you can go over there with me too. But I'm going to read it. But I'm sure you know where Matthew is. It's in the New Testament. But Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, it says, we fear when we lack faith. And, you know, we lack faith in God. And it says, Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" You know, when we are fearful, it's because we lack faith in God and what He can do. You know, the Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear, because fear had torment, you know. We should have faith in God and realize that He loves us and He's going to take care of us. The Bible says all things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. You know, you're in God's hands. You know, there's a commercial, I don't forget what it is. It's, what is it? They say, you're in good hands. Allstate. Well, you got something better than Allstate. You got Jesus. And He's much better than Allstate. Amen? And we should be realize that we are in His hands. He'll take care of us. And if it's your time to go and He wants you to go, then you're going to go. But you're in His hands. You're going to go to heaven, amen, if you're saved, amen. But if you're not saved, you need to get that settled tonight, you know. You need to get saved. And but if you're saved, you're in God's hands, you know. You're in God's hands. He promises He will never leave us or forsake us. And, you know, the battle is the Lord's. And we need to not focus on us, but we need to focus on the Lord. You know, when they were fearful of the storms, they were looking at the storms, and they got their eyes off the Lord. And we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, and because the battle is the Lord's. And, you know, we think, oh, I got to get through this. Really, what you need to do is just let God have His way
and let him bring you through it. Yield yourself to him, and he'll help you. And, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 50, David said, you know, the battle is the Lord's. We think it all depends on us, and we get all flustered and nervous, but it, you know, we just need to do what we're supposed to do, but God will, I believe God will take care of the rest. And, you know, but we must be like David and be strong and of a good courage. And the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. How are we supposed to fight the good fight of faith? With faith. You know, fight the good fight of faith. You know, believe the Lord, obey the Lord, take God at his word, and keep your eyes on the Lord. Realize that he'll take care of you and bring you through it if you'll obey him and do what's right. Let's go to 1 Timothy. I wrote a verse down, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, the first part of the verse, it says, fight the good fight of faith. So how do you fight the good fight of faith? With the word of God, with faith, you know. Believe the word of God, obey the word of God. Trust God, keep your eyes on the Lord. And, you know, the devil wants us to focus on the giant or the obstacles and be fearful. But, you know, David, he believed that God was going to defeat the that giant through him. And he had faith in God. The rest, they were all fearful, but David had faith. And the devil wants us to focus on the giant and be fearful. But, you know, God can defeat any giant that we face in our lives. And the devil wants you to be fearful and doubt. And when we do this, we don't act in faith. And ultimately, it leads to failure. But we got to focus on God and have faith in him and his word. Because, you know, all things are possible with God. Doesn't matter what obstacle we may face. And you know, the Israelites, they were going to go into this land. If they would have just believed God and gone in and done what's right and had faith, they would have had victory. You know, a lot of times we don't do what we're supposed to do because we lack faith and we're fearful and we don't go ahead and do what he tells us to do when we fail. But you know, we got to have faith. I believe it was like 40 years later they did go into the promised land and they did take the land. And they did have faith at that time. You know, but faith is the victory that overcometh the world, you know, even our faith. You got to have faith. It'll help you overcome some things through the power of the Lord. And we must act in faith in God and with his word to have victory. And the devil wants you to be fearful. But God, we must focus on God and have faith in him and his word. You know, when we act out of fear, make decisions in fear, we make the wrong decisions. And, you know, lack of faith leads to disobedience. You know, they disobey God because they lack faith. You know, if you don't have faith as a college student, you're not going to make it through very long in college, right? You got to, because there's times where the money's short. There's times when the ramen noodles get gross. There's times when your roommate's feet smell really bad. And there's times where you just can get discouraged. But you need to keep your eyes on the Lord. Realize that he has you there for a reason. And he's going to take care of you. And he'll bring you through it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 real quick. And because the time is about gone now. It's already gone. But you know, faith will get you through a lot of things. Faith in God. And don't let the devil let you think that, you know, get you down in the dumps. And there's because, you know, all things are possible with God. He'll bring you through it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 34. It's Hebrews chapter 11, 32 through 34. It says, and what shall I more say, for the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You know, you may not be much, I may not be much, but we serve a big God, amen? And you need to get your eyes off of you, the giants, put them on the Lord. What can he do? He can do anything. And that's the truth. And I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. This is the truth. This is the word of God. And, you know, you may be going through something. He might, if you pray, he might take it away from you. Or you might be like Paul, you know, you might have some problem and God says, nope, you're going to keep it. But my grace is sufficient, right? And so he might allow you to keep it. But he'll say, my grace is sufficient. You know, we serve a all-sufficient God. And I just wanted to be an encouragement tonight. And God wants us to be strong and of a good courage. Don't let the devil get your focus off of Jesus and the Lord and God. Don't get focused on the walled cities or the giants or the obstacles. Focus on Jesus. And the devil wants to use those things to get you off of your focus off of Jesus and get you fearful. But we need to have faith in God that he's going to bring us through. And I'm going to pray, and then just real quickly, and then it's because it's Brother Pastor Parsons' pulpit, so I'll give it to him. But I'm going to pray, and you know, however he wants to the invitation. Maybe there's somebody here, you've been going through something and the devil's got you thinking it's helpless. And but it's not. Maybe it's time just to come down to the altar and get it right with God. Say, Lord, that's wrong. I haven't been living by faith. Help me to live by faith. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Dear Lord, just speak to hearts. Bless the invitation, dear Lord. Dear Lord, if there's anybody here that's been going through some things, struggles, dear Lord, help them realize that with you all things are possible, dear Lord, and you can defeat the giants if we'll just keep our eyes on you, keep trusting in you. And dear Lord, maybe there's somebody here that's saved, they haven't been saved yet, they haven't accepted you as their Savior. Dear Lord, help them to make that decision tonight. I'm going to come and accept you as our Savior. Lord, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.
Let's stand to our feet. If God's spoken to your heart, why don't you step out and come? Maybe you were encouraged tonight to speak to the Lord about faith. Maybe you're looking into the next year, trying to get a look at the big picture. And sometimes when you look at the big picture, we get focused on our lack instead of God's supply. And tonight, why don't you step out and come if God spoke to your heart?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, maybe you've been struggling with it, maybe you've never put that faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then don't let the year click by. Don't go into a brand new year not knowing for sure where you're going to spend eternity. You know, I don't know how long it will be before the Lord comes back for us, but He's close. And I'd want to make sure tonight that I knew that I knew that I knew that I would spend eternity because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. If you're here tonight and you have any doubt about that, well, we could take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home for a Bible reason. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come. We'll be happy to take the Bible and show you how.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Let's sing this next one with him.
Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
Let's close in a word of prayer. I'm excited about what's going on there, but also what a blessing it was to be encouraged tonight about our faith and keep our focus on the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for God's people that have come out tonight. Lord, our teenagers meeting together, our Spanish church, Lord, meeting over there. I pray that you'd bless each group, Lord. I pray that you just bless us now as we all go back with our families tonight, Lord, and return at this appointed hour. Lord, I know we're have watch night coming up, Lord. I pray you'd watch over us as we approach the new year, Lord. I pray that you'd bless our church, Lord, as we close out this year for you. I'd love to have people saved this Sunday, Lord. Help us to invite folks to be here. Help us be a witness until that day comes and cross over into a brand new year with souls saved and lives changed for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.